As soon as it became clear coronavirus was a major threat in the United States, calls to flatten the curve came from everywhere. That means making sure the peak of cases didn't spike too high too fast. Leaders in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware issued stay-at-home orders, and the idea was to keep our healthcare system from getting overwhelmed as much as possible. So how prepared are hospitals in Philly and Pennsylvania to handle the upcoming influx of coronavirus cases? And just how prepared can they be? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. WHYY reporter Nina Feldman has been checking in with area hospitals bracing for big numbers in their ERs. Nina, how have Philadelphia hospitals been preparing for this expected onslaught of patients?
There's sort of a two-pronged approach, and the first prong is clear out the emergency departments. So to do that, doctors have canceled elective surgeries in the main hospitals, which means that, you know, anybody who doesn't need to have something, a procedure happen right away, that's been postponed. So what that means is that people who are in the emergency department in a lot of instances can be admitted to the hospital to make room in the emergency departments.
So there have been, as I understand it, several hundred beds that have been emptied in preparation for the oncoming need.
I talked to Ben Sun, who's the chair of emergency medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, and he said, you know, they've effectively done that so far, and it's created a really eerie sort of scene as they prepare for this influx of patients.
We currently are in the quiet before the storm, and we're doing everything humanly possible to prepare what's coming in the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Okay, so the first prong is getting their capacity up. What's the second prong of the approach?
The second prong is preventing everyone who doesn't absolutely need to be in the emergency room from even setting foot inside. One doctor I talked to at Jefferson.
I'm Aditi Joshi. I'm an emergency room physician.
Who is the head of the acute care division of their telemedicine program.
You can imagine somebody at home or work calling to connect to a doctor, whether they have a question, if they have basically an acute issue. It's usually things you may see at an urgent care that people normally call for.
And she made this analogy that I thought was really helpful.
We're like the Night's Watch.
The Night Watch in the TV show Game of Thrones, who's responsible for watching on the wall and guarding against the external threat of the White Walkers.
You've seen the Army of the Dead. You've seen the Night King. He's coming for us. For all of us.
And it feels true to some degree, because right now we're holding it up. We're trying to keep people at home.
While on the inside of the wall, everyone else is sort of preparing for battle. And the analogy, to sort of torture the metaphor a little bit, is that within the hospital walls, you know, you have the people who are working in the ER that are, you know, preparing those hospital beds, clearing out the space so that there's room for the patients, and, you know, doing their best to get the best personal protective gear that they can get in light of a nationwide shortage to be prepared to deal with that onslaught of patients.
It may not hold, of course, and it's not going to. We are going to see sicker patients. Our ERs are going to have those patients come in. But for right now, if we can keep more people at home and decrease the contagion, maybe it'll help so that it doesn't come crashing down, but it comes down in small pieces. So we have a little bit of ability to prepare and be ready for it.
Right. I hope the wall does not fall to the same fate as in the show.
Yeah. I hope that the virus doesn't turn into a dragon, you mean?
Yeah.
Run! Run!
So triaging people over the phone to keep some people out of emergency rooms. Is there any other way that hospitals can sort of screen out patients who don't necessarily need to be there?
Yep. So at Penn and Einstein also has the capacity to do this too. They are setting up tents outside of the emergency room so that people who have mild symptoms but still want an evaluation and still want a test could walk up to the tent outside of the emergency room, talk to a nurse there or a trained health professional, get the swab, get evaluated, be sent home with the proper treatment protocols, but again, not actually have to go into the hospital to prevent overcrowding and to prevent the exposure of healthcare workers to this virus.
If we're going to the tent, what we want to do is do the entire process of registration, medical evaluation, testing, charting, discharge in the quickest time possible.
So those tents are up and running at some of Penn's hospitals, and Einstein has the capacity for that plan to be put in place, you know, when the numbers start climbing to a place where they would need to enact it.
And with those measures in place, do Philly's hospitals actually think they can be ready for the number of patients they're going to see?
The short answer is no. The projections of how this virus is going to go suggest that the demand for emergency room care is going to far outpace the supply. That's just the brutal reality that we're up against.
Wow. I mean, do we have any idea by how much?
So it depends on how the efforts that are underway right now go. And, you know, a lot of the social distancing that we're all struggling through right now and how effective that can be. And, you know, it looks like Philadelphia could need at least twice the number of beds that it currently has right now.
Well, that's really scary.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nina, and stay safe.
Yeah, you too.
That was WHYY's Nina Feldman. When we come back...
I don't think that they ever seriously planned for anything that was going to affect this many people over this course of time.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We just heard from Nina Feldman about what Philadelphia's ERs are doing to prepare for the inevitable influx of patients with COVID-19. But according to WITF reporter Brett Schultes in Harrisburg, hospitals across the state are woefully under-equipped to deal with a major outbreak.
Okay, check, check. This is my normal voice here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Should I speak up? Should I get closer?
You should just, no, you're perfect. You're perfect.
Okay.
Brett, when this outbreak started, you were able to talk to the mayor of York, Pennsylvania. What did he say about how prepared his town was for this?
Yeah, I talked to York Mayor Michael Helfrich, and he was worried.
I don't know how many people in my city right now have the coronavirus, because people get it and are contagious before they show symptoms. I don't know how many will get it.
He had just wrapped up a day where he was listening to concerns from a lot of people in the community, and he was grappling with the fact that he could see how soon this could be a public health emergency in his city and in the surrounding county.
You know, last night I spent an hour and a half listening to Mayor de Blasio and seeing what was going on in New York, trying to see what's coming before we get hit by the train, you know?
York County is the part of Pennsylvania that is projected to get hit the hardest. Even in a best case scenario, they don't have enough intensive care unit beds and critical care beds to support the people that are going to be coming in sick with COVID-19 or the coronavirus or other illnesses. And if COVID-19 spreads quickly, meaning that it reaches its peak and rises and falls within 6 months, then researchers are saying that in York County and in the surrounding region, the need for beds is going to be 26 times greater than what the capacity for intensive care units can actually support. That number is not only the worst in Pennsylvania, it's actually, by that particular model or that particular projection, it would be worse than anywhere else in the whole nation.
Wow. So, Brett, you're talking about the worst case scenario. What are sort of the range of scenarios we could see?
Yeah, so Harvard Global Health did this study that looks at actually 9 different scenarios. It's based on how quickly it will take the pandemic to rise and fall in the community. So let's break that down a little bit. If it takes 6 months, that's the worst scenario. 6 months would be an incredibly fast peak that would surge hospitals, that would break down the healthcare system. It would leave doctors and nurses unable to help people by a great amount. And once that starts happening, the death rate climbs because many people who might have survived the illness because they were on a ventilator and they were receiving intensive care, those people are going to be triaged and some of them aren't going to get that. So that's the worst case scenario. The best scenario that they modeled out would be that it takes 18 months. That would be a scenario that's only going to happen if we, as a state, institute some drastic measures to prevent it from continuing to spread.
So does it seem like Pennsylvania's hospitals are just going to be overwhelmed?
Put it this way, if everybody stayed in their homes from now until July, I could answer that by saying not necessarily. But when I mean stay in your house, I mean don't go out for any reason, and that's not going to happen. I don't want to discourage people from thinking that they can make a difference by doing things like practicing social distancing, especially staying home and limiting their contact with other people. But the reality is that the hospitals around the state are going to be overwhelmed. How badly they're overwhelmed depends on a number of factors and plays out in the different versions of the data that we look at. It's also not the same in every part of the state. So urban areas like Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Wilkes-Barre, they're the best equipped areas. And in the best possible scenario, they could handle this with the current number of beds they have. But that's only in the best possible scenario. But rural areas are already suffering from depleted resources. Hospitals have been closing in those rural areas. And I think of areas like Sunbury, where UPMC, and that's University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, closed a hospital last year. And UPMC is one of the biggest health systems in the state. It was one of 6 hospitals they closed around the state. And that leaves everybody in that community having to travel further just for anything, emergency services. And of course, then that puts more pressure on those other rural hospitals that may be 15, 20 minutes away serving their own communities. Now they're also taking in people from another community, and they might only have a couple of ICU beds to begin with. And another factor, it's not a factor that was necessarily incorporated into the data modeling, but some of those rural areas also have an older population. So those are people that we know are more likely to have some of the more serious effects of the coronavirus. They're people who are more likely to end up needing an ICU and needing a ventilator. And they're also the people who are the most likely to die.
And what is the state doing given those relatively bleak scenarios?
Well, the governor has ordered non-essential businesses to close. And now the state is beginning to enforce that. The health department has been working with hospitals and health systems on this since at least January. So they seem to have been preparing for this by doing things like loosening up some of the requirements so that hospitals would be able to do things like add capacity a little bit more quickly rather than going through a sort of a red tape or going through a lot more requirements as they would in the past.
Do you think that the health system was ever meant to handle anything like this? Could it possibly handle anything like this under any circumstances?
Pandemics have been flagged for the past 10 to 15 years as all but inevitable. And health systems have had emergency response departments set up to address these kinds of problems for decades. So on paper, hospitals have had resources set up to address pandemics, but I don't think that they ever seriously planned for anything that was going to affect this many people over this course of time.
And why is that? Why aren't they prepared?
In my experience as a health reporter, health systems do a lot of things based on whether or not they're profitable. I've seen them shut down extended acute care beds for people with serious mental illnesses. I've seen hospitals close entirely because they just weren't able to keep the capacity high enough. And they don't like to have a lot of excess capacity because it's taking up space and it's not making them money. And oftentimes hospitals put their priorities on things that will make them appear to be very dominant in the area, which is why they'll often heavily advertise those products as well. So I think that something as mundane as having a lot of ICU beds and keeping capacity really low is something that was never incentivized in the way our health system works. And, you know, that's fine, but why isn't there something in place to quickly change that when it's needed?
Brett, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me on, Shai.
Brett Schultes is a health reporter for WITF. He reported on the looming shortage of ICU beds with the Philadelphia Inquirer's Nat Lash. You can check out their story at spotlightpa.org. If you had to go and get healthcare since this all started, either for coronavirus or something else, have you been able to get a doctor's appointment or reach an ER? Let me know your experience. I'm on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. I'm Shai Ben Yaakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.